And so if you have your Bibles, if you'll look in the book of Hosea, we've passed the major prophets at this point. Isaiah and Jeremiah is beginning in what we call the minor prophets. Right after Daniel comes Hosea. And I will read just simply one verse from chapter 10. Chapter 10, and I'll ask you, if you find chapter 10, if you would rise with me. We rise, if you're able, that is, and if you're willing. We rise for the reading of the Word out of respect for the Word. I don't ask you to rise to shake your feet or to wake back up or anything. That's not what we're about. We're trying to respect the Lord and His Word. And so, as we read here just one verse in the book of Hosea, you're going to see that I'm going to come back to this often, or at least I plan to, throughout the rest of this week. And if you'll look down, and we will read together, or I will read verse 12. Verse 12, if you look at verse 12, Hosea here is speaking what the Lord has told him. And in verse 12, it reads as follows: "Sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you." Lord, this evening, as we've met this evening, Lord, at the very first of this meeting, Lord, we meet with anticipation, Lord, that You might be here with us, Lord. And this is what I seek, Lord, that You would come and be with Your people, Lord. Be with me, Lord, as I do my best to deliver this that You've laid upon my heart. Be with all of Your people, Lord. Help us to hear, Lord, not only with our natural ears, Lord, but to hear from the heart, Lord, from the inner man, Lord, that one that You birthed within us, that we might, Lord, gain understanding, Lord, that we might hear Your call. I pray You, Lord, work in all of our hearts, Lord, Your perfect will. Bend us, Lord, and train us and grow us toward You, Lord. Help us, Lord, that we would put away and put aside the things, Lord, that slow us down, that hinder us, Lord, from perfect fellowship with You. I pray You, Lord, work Your way, work Your will, Lord, in our hearts and in our lives, Lord. We need You desperately, Lord. And I pray this, Lord Jesus, in Your precious name. Amen. You may be seated. It's often that I know what I'm going to preach, and it's often that I don't know what I'm going to preach. But as I come up on an extended meeting, a meeting of several days, I seek desperately from the Lord that I might have an idea of what to preach. And for quite a while, I cast about and could not settle on anything. And not too long ago, a few weeks ago, as I began to till my garden, and as I began to work in the garden, the Lord began to work in me. And it was only just a few minutes into putting my hand to the tiller and fellowshipping with the Lord, because that's my theology school, by the way, is my garden. That's where the Lord speaks to me the best. And don't get me wrong, the Lord can speak to you anywhere. And He spoke to me before in my house. He's spoken to me before driving down the road. He's spoken to me before out in the woods. I like to go out in the woods across the house and find me a spot. And I've got a spot out there where I can pray and get along with the Lord. And I can pray as loud as I want to, and nobody's going to hear me. Or if they do, they don't tell me. And I like to go out and pray and seek the Lord. And He talks to me in those places, but nowhere like He does in my garden. I don't know why. But it just seems like that when I get out there, whether I'm plowing or whatever I'm doing, whether I'm cutting okra or whether I'm planting the plants, it just seems like that the Lord comes by and helps me out a lot of times, and I appreciate it. And while I was there, He began to speak with me about what to preach here. And I thank God that He did so, and I hope you're going to get something from it this week. Again, not from me, but I would that you would listen to what the Lord has for you. I want to speak to this thing of break up your fallow ground, because this is where it starts. Now, I know that I'm not talking to people from Chicago or Atlanta or New Orleans. I know where I'm at. I'm about halfway between Oakdale and Pitkin out here in Odom Town. And y'all know what it means to break up ground. This is something I believe that the Lord spoke in our understanding, my understanding and yours. Break up your fallow ground. We're going to start here tonight. And I'm trusting the Lord that through this week, we're going to follow through, because what I'm looking for is new growth from old ground. That's what revival is for us. We're going to have new growth, is what we're looking for, from old ground. Now, this is something that's true of the saved, as true of the lost. And it may be that there's somebody here, because you know you don't, the color of your skin don't change when you get saved, and your eyes don't suddenly start showing off a different light. You can be saved or lost, and I might not know, and I don't. And so you may be in here and not saved. You may be in here and lost and deceived, or you may be in here and lost and know you're lost. But if so, it's still revival. It's still revival, because I'm still looking for new life from old ground. You know, while we were in Adam, Adam fell. It says that we fell in Adam, and that means that we must have been in Adam when he fell. And if we were in him when he fell, then we were in him when he walked with God in the Garden of Eden, and when he talked with God and had fellowship with God. And if we were in him then, it's no wonder that men and women seek after that thing they're missing so desperately, that fellowship with God. And if you're in here without God, then I tell you, it's revival I'm looking for you. New life, that is to say, to be born one more time, born again, regened, regenerated, born of the Spirit, born from above, new life from old ground. And if you're in here and you have been born again, if you've been saved by the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, then I know as well as you do that you've had times where you felt the Lord's presence. I don't know how you can get saved without feeling the Lord's presence. It's all over me the day I got saved. But since that time, if you've been saved for more than about a half a day, then you know you've had some up times and some down times. And if you've been saved for several years, you've been saved, you've seen the ups and the downs come and go. And so we're looking now, just like a man would look over his garden patch. And my wife thought I was about to go crazy about February, staring out the window, staring at my garden patch. And I couldn't get out there for the cold, and I couldn't get out there for the rain, but I wanted to get out there and get some new life from old ground. And that's what we want for everybody this week. And I hope you're anticipating it. And I hope you're looking for the Lord to come by. And I want to help you. We're going to start with breaking up the fallow ground. You say, well, my ground ain't fallow. Well, you don't need no help. You can go home now. But if you need some help, this is where we're going to start at. Breaking up the fallow ground. Now, I've told you, I know you know what I'm talking about. I don't have to explain too much. You know what fallow ground is. Fallow ground had life, but it ain't got none right now. And I would say that there's places in you, because this ground speaks of the heart. Speaks of the heart. I'm going to tell you, the things of God are all about the heart. If your heart's right, the outside will get right. I'm not worried about it. But if your heart ain't right, I can't put enough laws on you to get the outside right. It's all about the heart. And if you've got a problem, it's in your heart. And if there's a deadness in you, it's in your heart. And if there's a place where you need to draw close to God, it's in your heart. And this ground that we speak of is your heart. To break up that part of your heart, that part of your heart where there's no growth, where there's nothing happening for God, where there's nothing in there but just blah, just dead. That's where it needs to be broken up. And the first thing is, we have to break it up. You can't go out and harvest where the ground's not been broken up. You can't really even go out and plant where the ground's not been broken up. The first thing that has to happen is to break up the fallow ground. And if we can get there tonight, it'll be enough. I tell you, to break up the fallow ground. First off, when we break up the ground, I find there's three things involved. Three things. You've got the ground itself that's being plowed. You've got whoever's plowing the ground. And you've got the plow. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If it's your heart being broken up, you're not the one doing the plowing. I'm going to tell you what, it's not me doing the plowing. But it's God Almighty that'll break your heart if it gets broken off.
And if there's any work going to get done over the next few days, it'll have to be from the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost of God, who's going to break your heart. You're not capable of breaking your own heart. That's right. You might have had your heart broke several times, but you may remember it wasn't you that broke your heart. You might say somebody else broke your heart, but that ain't a real heartbreak. You say you don't know. Oh, yes, I do. I know what a real heartbreak is. Real heartbreak goes deeper than what somebody does to you. Real heartbreak goes deeper than losing out on things. Real heartbreak comes when the Lord breaks your heart. And what we're looking for is that plower who does, and by the way, he does all the labor. There's nothing you can do to break up your own heart. It must be the Lord. All Him. Have you ever seen self-plowing ground? If they made such a thing, I'd go buy me an acre. But they ain't got no self-plowing ground. And your heart won't break itself. It takes the Spirit of the Lord to break your heart, to break it up. And so He must come by then. What do I seek this week? I seek the Spirit of the Lord coming by to break up my ground. I seek the Spirit of the Lord to come by to help me that I might have my heart broken, because I can't do it. And I can't break yours either. And if you're looking at me like I'm going to do the work, you missed it.
That's right.
It takes the Lord. I would tell you now, if you want to pray for growth in your life, you got to pray that the Lord break your heart. Mm-hmm. If you want anything to happen in your life, you say, I don't like the way my family's going. I don't like the way my job's going. I need to get closer to God. I need to be able to hear His voice. You've got to pray that the Lord break your heart. It has to start there. If you can come in here and not be touched by the Word of God, your heart's not broke. If you can come in here and nothing affects you, your heart's not broke. And nothing's going to grow on that hard, stony ground. You must have your heart broken. Again, the plow, by the way, not only does all the work, but he has all the authority. All of it. The ground don't tell the plower which way the furrows go. That's right. My ground, when I go out there and set my garden, my ground don't tell me nothing. I plow where I want to, how deep I want to, ever how I want to, ever how many times I want to. And when God breaks your heart, He'll do it how He wants to, where He wants to, however many times He wants to. You know what the ground does? Does one of two things. It either yields or it resists. How many of y'all plow the field? I thought it might be a few of you. Now, sometimes you go out and plow, and that ground just yields. And you can just plow right on through. And it's easy. And sometimes it's hard, and it resists. But it's up to the plower to determine how it's going to be plowed. The other thing is the plow itself. And by the way, the ground gets no say-so there either. But the plower picks the plow. And one scripture that's read might affect you and miss you completely. And one thing that's read might get you or you. And it's not the preacher. It's not your pastor. And it's not me who determines what's going to strike you to the heart. We don't have that power. We're just a tool in the Master's hands. But it's the Spirit of God, it's God Almighty, in the person of the Holy Ghost, who will determine what's going to strike your heart. There's no sense looking at your pastor on Sunday afternoon and saying, I don't know how you learned about my business, but I wish you'd quit reading my mail. Because it ain't him. It's the Lord. It's the plower that picks the plow. And it's the plower that determines how it's going to be plowed. And the only thing the ground does is yield or resist. And the only thing you can do this week is yield to the Spirit of God or resist. And you say you want revival. Do you want it? Because you're either going to yield or you're going to resist. And either you're going to seek that the Lord is going to come by and plow your heart, and break your heart. Either you'll yield to Him or you'll just clam up and resist. And I can see sometimes, and we're just getting to meet it again this year, so I can't speak for right now, but I can see sometimes when I preach, whether it be at home or abroad, you can see in the same sermon that one will sit there all eyes and ears, and another will sit there with all elbows. You see, it's not the sermon. It's the person listening to it. And whether or not you'll have revival this week is going to depend on whether you are going to yield or resist. But if the Lord comes by to plow our ground, I would pray you, yield, yield. You know, there's more to it. As you break the ground, there's some things that have to be done. I probably won't go long tonight. I know how my voice is doing. I hear it just like you do. But I want to get some things in tonight. And I want to set the tone for where we're going. I want to give you something to pray about tonight. I want to give you something to think about tonight. So we can set it for tomorrow. As the ground is broken, and as the Lord works on your heart, there's things a plower has to do. A plowman has to deal with stumps, particularly in new ground. And even sometimes in old ground, there's stumps. And when you come across the stump, you don't plow through it. There ain't no through on a stump. That stump's got to be dealt with. If you go around it, you just don't get that piece of ground. And that's not satisfactory to the plowsman. So what has to happen then is the plow has to be removed. Now, I've never hitched up a pair of mules in my life. That was before my time. Some of y'all might have. Now we do it with a tractor. And we'll push or we'll pull. We'll do whatever we have to. You might use dynamite. But you got to get that stump out of the ground. And a stump, by the way, is something that's dead and in the way. That's what a stump is. Stump ain't living. It's dead. It's dead. And if you got something in your heart that's dead and in the way, that's a stump. And it's got to come out. And you might ask, well, what are you talking about? Well, I tell you, right after I got saved, I think I was the most ignorant person in the world when I got saved. I'd been raised in church. I thought I knew all about God. I thought I knew all about the Bible. And I got saved, found out I didn't know nothing. I was ignorant. But right after I got saved, the Lord started working on me and got on me on some things that y'all ain't going to like me preaching about, and I'm going to anyhow. He got on me about the music that was in my house and about the things that was all my CD collection that I loved so much. He got on me and he wouldn't let me go. And I threw away a handful and that wasn't enough. And the Lord got on me more. I threw away a whole bunch more and I only took a few back. And the Lord wouldn't let that go. But He cleared every stump in there, stump by stump by stump. That music was dead and it was in the way. It was dead because it wasn't alive with the Spirit of God. There wasn't nothing in that music that glorified God. And it was in the way because God wanted all of me. And He wants all of you. And if you got stumps in your heart, they got to come out. They got to get rid of. The Lord got on me on my clothes. I know it. Every time I say it, I know what happens. But listen anyhow. He got on me about my clothes because I run around like a half-naked Indian when I was lost. And when I got saved, the Lord said, okay, now you're saved. Straighten it up. And I opened up my shirt drawer and I saw my shirts. And I don't know why, but I just started throwing them away. Well, now I know why. It was the Lord on me. And it was the Lord that was telling me, look. And look, I know it was the Lord because down at the church I was going to, they still wore that kind of stuff. You know, and all the rest of the men wore tank tops. And so I didn't offend nobody at church if I wore a tank top. But the Lord wouldn't let me. He told me to get rid of them. And that was before I'd studied out in the Bible and found out about that thing about covering your nakedness. Lord already got on me about it. And Lord already got on me about wearing short breeches around. And maybe you don't like that, but I'm just telling you what the Lord got on me about. And He wouldn't let me uncover my nakedness because He got on me. He said, it's a stump. It's dead. It's what you used to do. It's in the way. Get it out of here. We're pulling it right now. And you might have stumps in your life. And I don't know what they might be. And it might not be the same ones I had. But if you're seeking revival, you're not going to have anything grow in your garden. You're not going to have anything grow in your heart unless you'll yield to Him. Because it's the same with a stump as it is with a plow. The ground's got two choices, yield or resist. Yield or resist. And you go to push a stump over with a tractor, and you put the front end loader on that stump and push, and if it's good soft ground, that stump will just push right on over, and it ain't no real problem. But sometimes you'll get them and they're hung up there like eye teeth, and they don't want to push over at all. Look, the ground's got two choices, yield or resist. Now, if we come across a stump somewhere this week, what you going to do? Now, you can yield to the Spirit of God. And you can say, all right, God, you're right. And I'm wrong. And I've got to get that out of my life. And I need your help. Or you can sit there and you can bow up. And you can cross your arms and you can poke out your bottom lip like a Boudin sausage. And you can say, the preacher's meddling now. And that ain't none of his business. And you can resist. And when you do, you killed your garden. You killed it. Dead. But it's up to the ground. Yield or resist. So the plow drops and the ground's turned over. And there's stumps. And we're going to move on. There's roots. Roots are attached to stumps a lot of times. Sometimes they're just attached to a weed. Where my garden grows, I got a problem with hogweed. And hogweed will run a long root down there. And I can kill this hogweed right here. But it'll run a root far from over, all the way over the middle of them other pews over there, and it'll pop up over there. I'll tell you something about roots, they're hard to kill. And when you get a hold of them, if you leave them alone, you will have problems. But roots have to be chased down and dug up. And by the way, the ground don't do that either. It's the plowsman. And it's the Lord who will dig after your roots. You know what I'm talking about? Let me read it to you. In the book of Hebrews in chapter 12, and in verse 15, we read there, in verse 14, it says, follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. That root of bitterness. I said a lot of times it's attached to stumps. You get rid of something because God got on you about it, but you're bitter about getting rid of it. It's a root of bitterness. Sometimes it's attached to weeds. That's things that ain't supposed to grow in your garden that did grow in your garden. And you got rid of the weed, but down beneath the surface, it's still wanting to pop back up. We ever get a new preacher, I'm going to change the way I look. We ever get a new preacher, and I won't have to do this no more. That's a root. It's beneath the surface. And it's running way out there. But if your garden's going to be clean, it's got to be dug up. Dug up. And the ground can do, guess what? Two things. It can yield or it can resist. You ever go to pull a root out of soft ground? Boy, you can just run it right down. Pull the whole thing out. You ever run it out of hard, dry ground? Snap off every inch. You can hold on to your roots if you want to. You can hang on to that bitterness a long time. I know a preacher. I went and seen him one time. He's not in this area. He's in Louisiana. Not in this area, Louisiana. I went and seen him, and he got to griping about another preacher. And he said something that stuck with me. He said, that's right. He said, I've got a hard spot against him. He said, I'm not going to forgive him. God will just have to straighten that out at the judgment seat. And I thought, my goodness, don't you know God will straighten that out? Yeah. be far better to get it straightened out here. You can carry that root of bitterness with you if you want to. It'll defile your whole garden. You go to grow good crops and the weeds will take it over if you don't get rid of the roots when you plow the ground. When you plow the ground. When the Lord comes by and troubles you and breaks your heart, seek to get rid of the roots when you get rid of the stumps. You want it to go. You want anything that makes you bitter. By the way, there's something in here I was looking at. I wasn't planning on preaching it, but it troubled me. And so I want to read it to you. Something that Paul wrote over in Colossians. And I feel like I'm reading it for a good reason. Colossians chapter 3. Chapter 3. And pardon me, I told you I lose my voice often. I know I won't be able to go a whole bunch longer, but I'm going to try this. Colossians chapter 3. In verse 19, I see some of you turning there. Said, husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. You know, it's possible for husbands and wives to be bitter against each other. Can I tell you that I don't know of nothing that'll interfere with your walk with God worse? If you can't do nothing else this week, make sure there's nothing bitter between husband and wife. Make sure there's nothing bitter between a wife and a husband. If you're aggravated at something he does or she does, get over it. You say it ain't that easy. I didn't say it's easy. I said get over it. I said go to the Lord and tell Him, pull the root. Pull the root, Lord. I need it pulled. And yield to Him. Yield to Him. If there's something that He does that aggravates you to no end, rather than getting mad at Him about it, go to the Lord. Tell the Lord, I need the root pulled. If there's something she does aggravates you to no end, go to the Lord. Say, Lord, pull my root. Get that root pulled out of the ground. And be not bitter against each other. It'll hinder your walk with God. It'll hinder any hope you have of revival. The home's got to be straight. There's got to be love in the home. There's got to be peace in the home if you're going to have any peace in the church, if you're going to have any peace in your own life. It has to be. It has to be. You want to work on your church life? Work at home. Work on your home life. No bitterness allowed. And I know it's easy for these things to grow. We had a saying in the military that said, familiarity breeds contempt. You know what that means? Closer you get to people, the easier it is to get aggravated at them. And you ought not be closer to nobody than your own husband or wife. And so it's real easy for a man and a wife to get aggravated at little things with each other, ain't it? It is. I understand that. But make sure there's no bitterness there. Make sure you're not holding a grudge. Make sure that you're not trying to pick each other apart over anything. Make sure that whatever else happens, that the husband and wife are running together like a matched pair. Get that root out of the ground. And by the way, if your wife or if your husband comes talks to you about something, and you think it's silly, that's probably the thing you need to listen to the most. Probably is. Because if you brush it off, you might as well snap the root off in the ground and left it there. And if your partner's hurting, you're hurting. And if they're trying to get rid of some kind of bitterness and you hinder them, it's going to hurt you. Help each other. Yield to the pulling out of those roots of bitterness. We said the ground's got to be broken. And the stumps and the roots got to be cast out. There's one last thing I want to cover tonight. And again, I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to give you something that you can put yourself before the Lord. Not only tonight, but through the week. Seek revival. Seek the breaking of your heart. And look at yourself. And the last thing I'll cover is not only that your heart's got to be broken. Not only the ground's got to be broken. Not only the stumps and the roots got to be pulled, but that ground's got to be cut fine. You know, when I got my wife and I, you know, we play in a little bluegrass gospel group. We were on our way to go play somewhere, a nursing home somewhere, and I got a phone call. And it was Brother Robert Jordan, and he called me up and said, "Hey, I just got through tilling so-and-so's garden. I'm on my way home. You want me to till yours?" Well, I about shouted hallelujah. I said, "Yeah, come till mine." He tilled up my garden, and I got home, and I looked at it, and I loved it. I loved the fact it was tilled. But you know, when you first break that ground, it's not enough. As soon as it dried a day or two, and I went out and sprayed Roundup on it, and let that get ready for a day or two, I hit that thing with a tiller. You say it was already tilled. No, it was broke. It was broke. But you got to chop it. You got to chop it fine. Now you go out, you can try if you want to plow the ground one time and then plant on it, but you'll have problems all year long. It won't grow good. It'll be full of weeds. It'll have problems all year long. If you want that ground of your heart to be fruitful, if you want the ground of your heart to bring forth what the Lord wants, the fruit the Lord wants, that peace, that joy, that temperance, that self-control. If you want to have the joy of the Lord overflow your heart, you're going to need for the ground not only to be broken, not only the things like the roots and the stumps gone, but you need to be cut again and again and again. It's why when we get saved, we don't quit going to church. We need to get that ground tilled again and again and again. It needs to get cut. It needs to get cut fine. It needs to get cut until not one clod sticks together. Amen. Amen. If you come out here for one night of revival, well, I pray God do the most work you possibly can in it. I don't know. It might be the only night you can come out. And I understand that too. And the Lord can do a lot of work in one night if you only got one night. But if you can come out three nights, don't come out one night. Come out three nights. So that your heart can get tilled, not just once, but get cut again and again. And again, what am I talking about? I'm talking about breaking down the things maybe that ain't sinful, but they're selfish. You see, because there's more to it than just getting rid of the things that are sinful. That's the stuff I said was dead and in the way. That's old sins and old things to get rid of. But there's more than that. There's cutting up what's not in the way. There's getting things cut fine. There's getting the details taken care of. You know, the rich young ruler came up and thought he had everything just right because he said, I've followed all the commandments. He said, "Lord, I got my ground broken up. What else is there?" But the Lord said He wanted all of it. He said, "I want all of it. I want you to sell all you have. Give it to the poor." You know what He's doing? He was chopping him fine. Chopping him fine. He said, I'm not just after the sinful things. I'm after the selfish things. I'm after what you're holding back from God. And really, I'm going to tell you what. This is where most revivals stall out, right here. Because in general, people say, "All right, I'm willing to give up the sinful things, but I'm not willing to give up the selfish things." But you know, the Lord said in Luke, and I'm going to read it to you, chapter 14. And I had a whole section marked, but I'm just going to read one verse. Verse 33. "So likewise, whosoever he be of you..." And by the way, don't whosoever include everybody. It does when we read John 3:16, don't it? We read John 3:16 and we brag to everybody about how whosoever, that means me. We even wrote songs about it. "Whosoever surely meaneth me." We'll brag about this one. "Likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." He didn't say who forsaketh all that breaks the Ten Commandments. He said all that he had. Everything. Everything in our lives, yours and mine, must be subject to the will of God. This is where revivals stall or where they break out. If you can submit everything in your life to the will of God, you can have revival. I'm telling you, you can. I believe in God. I believe in the power of God. I believe He loves His children. I believe He desires for you to be revived this week. I do. I believe that He's a good God. I believe He wants good things. I believe He wants your hearts overflowing. I believe He wants progress in your life. I believe He wants your family saved. I believe He wants the church to grow. I believe He wants all these things. But what did I tell you the ground can do? Two things. Yield or resist. And this is up to you tonight. What if the Lord put it on your heart that you're spending too much time, I don't know, hunting? What, was that the wrong thing to say? I'm sorry. I wouldn't bring that up in downtown Chicago. But I'd bring it up here. What if the Lord said you're spending too much money on whatever your hobby is, and I want that money? Now, by the way, me personally, I don't want it. I'm asking you, what if the Lord wanted it? What if the Lord come by and said, you're spending too much time out there fooling with old cars, or out there playing with whatever it is you're playing with, and I want that time? Would you yield or would you resist? Because the Lord wants to chop you fine. And by that, I mean He wants your heart not just to be tore up, but tore up, roots and stump removed, and every piece of it chopped fine. Do you really want revival, is what I'm asking you? Are we going through the motions? Or do you really want revival? Because it starts with your heart. And you can yield or you can resist. And it's the only options the ground has. All the work is the work of the plowsman. All the work is the work of the Lord's. The hard stuff's done by the plow and the plowsman. The gospel and God. But the ground has a choice. It can yield or it can resist. What will it be tonight? Will you yield when the Spirit of the Lord comes by? When something tugs on your heart and says, you know, I say I want revival, but I know where I spend my time. I know I got things in my life I never did get rid of. You know, I got some things I'm saving back. You know, I've got some things, some hard, unyielding spots in my heart where I will not forgive that man that fired me unjustly. I will not forgive that one family member for what they said when they thought I wasn't listening. I won't forgive that one person for doing me wrong, and they did me wrong. Will you yield or will you resist? Revival is the work of God. But the stop sign is yours. I'm going to turn it over to you, Pastor. I think I'm done. But I'm going to tell you, though I turn it over to you, Pastor, the choice is yours. The choice is yours tonight. Whether you yield or whether you'll resist. I pray you yield and we can have revival this week. I pray you tell the Lord yes. I'll tell you, if you'll tell Him yes, if you'll seek Him, if you'll agree with Him that you've got some unfruitful places in your life, and if you'll agree with Him that they need to be completely clean, if you'll agree with Him when He goes tugging that root of bitterness out, if you'll agree with Him when He drops a plow, if you'll agree with Him when He says that's a stump, you can have revival. You can have the joy of the Lord, or you can have your selfishness. It's up to you. Yield or resist. Brother Scott, I'm going to turn it over to you.